Hi, this is CJ Wilson for the Green Bay Packers, and you listen to Railbird Central.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football, and now that the Super Bowl is over, our attention is now turning to the NFL draft, acquiring college players, things along those lines. To do that this morning, we have a special guest joining us on the line. We have an NFL draft prospect. We have safety Eric Pinkins from San Diego State. Eric, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Very good. We're glad you could join us. Eric's joining us all the way from the West Coast where it's 6:30 a.m., so we're really glad he got this early wake-up call to join us, and we apologize if it's too early, Eric. But, Eric, I want to talk about you and your burgeoning career here in a minute, but with the big news yesterday that fellow prospective NFL rookie Michael Sam has come out as gay, I wanted to get your reaction. What did you think when you first heard that news?
Well, Michael Sam, for him coming out, he's very courageous for that. Honestly, I really don't judge him for that. As long as he's able to make plays on the field, I mean, he's okay with me.
So you would be okay with someone in the same locker room on the same team as somebody being gay?
Yeah, I don't really judge him for who he is inside. I just, if anything, I'll judge him how he plays on the field. Because if you can help a team win and get a W at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter who he is.
Fair enough. Getting to your discussion about yourself, Eric, you were part of a team at San Diego State that qualified for bowl games in four consecutive seasons. Do you feel as if you were a big part of that success over the course of your career?
Oh, yes, definitely. With the Brady Hoke area, before he went to Michigan, Coach Funk, he recruited me out of Endicott High School, which is up north, Sacramento, in the Thomas. The class of 09, we pretty much came in. He told us what we had to do. We pretty much turned the whole program around.
You ended your season with a win against Buffalo in the Potato Bowl in Boise, Idaho. Did that kind of show you can play in any weather conditions, whether it's the warmth of San Diego or the cold in a northern climate?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I wasn't really used to playing in cold weather like that. Honestly, once you strap on the pads and get the helmet on and get those cleats on, at the end of the day, we're just on the same football field as anybody else. Any climate, any weather, any condition, it doesn't matter. We're just playing ball.
We're talking to Eric Pinkins, a safety from San Diego State here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Now, Eric, a teammate of yours, Nat Burhey, was just announced as getting an invite to the NFL Combine. What can you tell us about Nat as a player?
Nat Burhey, he has really good decision-making, and he closes to the ball very well. I'm very happy for the guy. He has good ball skills, and I wish him the best of luck in the NFL Combine.
Now, do you think that combined with Nat Burhey, you had perhaps the best safety combination in the Mountain West Conference?
Yes, definitely. I would have to say so, because if you look at my pedigree, if you look at the past 2013 season, we've been overtime four times. And over those four times, I actually made crucial plays in crucial situations. If you go back to Air Force, it was probably about 40 seconds ago in the fourth quarter. And it was going down for a winning drive, and it was fourth and five. And all I had to do was just make the stop. They threw it to my man. I tackled him for a loss, and that was the game right there. And then the quarterback just had to make a knee. And San Jose State, well, I took one of their key receivers out, not by choice. But, I mean, you don't ever want to see no one go down like that. But that just goes to show what kind of player I am. I like to go for the ball, and I like to make plays, and I like to make hits. And another play in Hawaii was in overtime. It was about It was a 3rd and 8, and it was about 1:27 to go. And the quarterback did a boot out, and I ended up making a sack and make it 4th and 20. They made it a hard conversion for them to go for it on 4th down to get the 1st down, and we pretty much ended up winning the game that way too. So it just goes to show that I made the big plays in crucial situations.
You know, you're talking about these sacks, these tackles for a loss. Just before interview, I just looked up some of your statistics, Eric, before we came on air. I counted, I think you had 15 and a half tackles for a loss in college throughout your college career, which is a rather high number for a safety, a guy who plays in the defensive backfield. How do you make so many?
Well, we run out of 3-3-5 defense, so that means we have a high-grade linebacker, and we have 2 safeties, and I played the warrior position. And for the warrior position, sometimes it would be in the box, and sometimes we're blitzing off the edge. And that's pretty much how I made my tackle for loss. And if you want to account for like Ohio State or New Mexico State, they like to throw bubble screens out the backfield, and the receivers are just not strong enough to block me. So I pretty much just get off of the receivers and make the tackle for a loss. I made a few tackles for loss that way, too.
Very cool. Eric, you're listed as being 6'3", which is about as tall as safeties get. How does your height help you?
Well, I mean, in this day and age, the receivers, they're getting taller. And at the end of the day, I feel like NFL scouts, they want tall DBs to guard the tall receivers nowadays. So I feel like that helped me out in that aspect a lot.
I have to imagine you're hard at work getting ready for the San Diego State Pro Day workout. I think that comes in March. Is there any drills you're kind of specifically working hard at improving right now?
I just have to say any drill. I'm working hard and putting my heart and soul into it. When it comes to the 40-yard dash, getting ready, doing 5 and 20s, 20-yard starts, 10-yard starts, the 3-cone drill, working hard in that, working on my mobility, and the 20-yard shuttle, the broad jump, the vertical jump, and the 225 rep test. I'm working hard in all those aspects. Put myself in the best position on draft day.
Well, we gave you an early wake-up call this morning. You got workouts planned for later today?
Yes, I got a workout that started at 9 o'clock. We're going to do agility on the field, and then we're going to get an hour break. And then we're going to go right in to the weight room, get stronger.
But before we let you go here, Eric, I have to ask, seeing as we're kind of a show that's focused on the Green Bay Packers, have you met with any Packers scouts during the season? Do they come into San Diego State? Have you talked to them at all?
Personally, I haven't really talked to any Packers scouts, but I see them on the field all the time in practice, because our policy is we're not allowed to talk NFL scouts, because they want to solely the focus on winning the Mountain West Championship. So that was our policy. Wasn't really allowed to talk to scouts. I mean, I heard there was interest in me, and that's great, but they solely want us to focus on winning the Mountain West Championship. But now that's over, I'm ready to hear all the intake I can.
So is it kind of a case like during Pro Day, that's kind of your chance to meet with scouts, things like that?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely, and I can't wait.
What is the date there? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yes, it's March 20th.
Exact. Okay, very good. Well, Eric, we wish you the best of luck during your pro day and kind of the run-up to the draft and signing and all those kind of things. Wish you all the best of luck. Thank you for joining us so much here on Railbird Central this morning, and go get it in your workouts later today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Eric Pinkins, a safety from San Diego State, joining us on the show this morning. Great to get a little bit of NFL draft talk going on as we kind of transition from the postseason, the Super Bowl. Now pretty much we can focus on what's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers and how they're going to improve this team and getting better. We are just over a week away from the NFL Combine, where we're going to be talking about all sorts of college prospects, things like that. And after that, it's just the run-up to the draft. After that, we got pro days, things like that. So great to talk to Eric Pinkins and kind of get inside his mind and see what's going on in the inside the mind of an NFL draft prospect and what he's doing to get ready for the NFL. And interesting to get his thoughts on Michael Sam as well. I mean, that's kind of the talk of the town, you could say, ever since the story broke yesterday that Michael Sam, he is a defensive end / outside linebacker, kind of one of those hybrid types, it has come out as gay, and he would be, if he does get drafted into the NFL, which it certainly looks like he is, he's kind of a mid-round type of draft choice, kind of a prospect, but certainly a guy who achieved at a very high level in college. He led the SEC in sacks this past season. He was the SEC's Defensive Player of the Year, helped Missouri advance all the way to that SEC championship game that I don't think a lot of people saw coming this past year. What, you know, prior to when the year started, I don't think many people had Missouri pegged as getting to the SEC championship. Unfortunately for them, they lost to Auburn, who went on to appear in the BCS National Championship. Still a good season nonetheless, and have a SEC East title to their credit. But yeah, so Michael Sam coming out as gay would be the first player in the four major pro sports in America. We're talking NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, who came out while they were playing. So it's a very interesting story. And now I think there's kind of a discussion on how does this affect Michael Sam. Are there teams out there that might, you know, look down on it? Not necessarily because of that he's gay, but because of the distraction it might create. I can't deny there is going to be a very, very high amount of attention to any team that Michael Sam does end up joining. That it's going to be very interesting. There's going to be a lot of media attention, a lot of media requests for that team. You'll be getting non-traditional, you know, it's not just going to be, you know, let's say he comes to Green Bay, and I mean, the shot is about a 1 in 32. I mean, I'm not saying he is, he isn't, but I mean, it's going to be more than, you know, the Green Bay Press Gazette and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering Michael Sam. You'll be getting media outlets from all over the nation wanting to talk to him, get his perspective. The NFL Combine, like we said, coming up, that's going to be a major storyline coming out of Indianapolis in just over a week as he meets the media there. Going to be very, very interesting as this kind of all plays out here, and we're having our first, perhaps, openly gay player in the four major professional sports to come out while he is playing. I give Michael Sam all the credit in the world for doing this and doing it at this time, nonetheless, when the scrutiny on him is, you know, it's big to begin with, just coming out for the NFL draft and trying to prove himself to teams and get just drafted as high as he can, and et cetera, et cetera. And to do all that within the, you know, framework of coming out and you know, the questions he's going to have to answer there. Is definitely daunting. I couldn't imagine, you know, being in that position. But I give him all the credit in the world. I think he's a trailblazer, and applaud him for doing so. So definitely an interesting storyline. But, you know, this is a Green Bay Packers show, and we do have some rather major news to get here, to get to that. You know, our last episode was Friday morning. Well, by Friday afternoon, some major news broke in the world of the Green Bay Packers. The coaching staff has been added to in Green Bay. Been some changes since the end of the season. As we know, Kevin Green stepped down, the outside linebackers coach of the Green Bay Packers, spending more time with family, Ben McAdoo, the quarterback's coach, left to become the offensive coordinator of the New York Giants. The Packers had released assistant special teams coach Chad Morton. So, you know, there was some holes to fill here on the staff. And the Packers actually added four new coaches to their coaching staff, and reassigned five others. A lot of switching around here, a lot of different things that are going on. I think the biggest news is with the new guys. You've got Ron Zook, the Zooker, joining the coaching staff of the Packers. He will be joining the Packers in the capacity of the assistant special teams coach, and a very interesting hire for several reasons. I think perhaps biggest of all is here you've got a guy, Ron Zook, who is coming from coaching at the high levels of being a head coach at major Division I colleges, previously at the University of Florida, later at the University of Illinois, where he coached for about, I don't know, roughly about 10 years, I'd say, between those two places. Ended up having a losing record overall. Kind of has the reputation of being a good recruiter, but not a great X's and O's guy. He always seemed to end up with very good recruiting classes wherever he was, whether it was Florida, whether it was Illinois. But then his teams would never quite live up to expectations, and that was kind of always the downfall of Ron Zook's teams and why he failed to achieve. And I think the fan bases got frustrated there at both places, at Florida, at Illinois. They end up having losing records and not quite achieving what the fan base had hoped, things along those lines. And then he, you know, ends up getting fired from Illinois and has been out of football for the past two seasons. I think he's actually been worked as an analyst at the CBS Sports Network for the past 2 years or so. And now, so he's getting back into coaching kind of, and this is his way to get back in. I think you're seeing a guy who, you know, wasn't about to get a head coaching job anymore. Maybe he can work his way back up to that in time, but perhaps maybe saw this as a chance to get back in the coaching profession. A guy who also, he's joining the Packers as a assistant special teams coach. He was previously the head special teams coordinator in the mid-90s with the Pittsburgh Steelers, right after the era where current defensive coordinator Dom Capers kind of left Pittsburgh to become head coach of the Carolina Panthers, and that's when Ron Zook was there and was there. Special teams coordinator, goes on from there to be a coach on the defensive side of the football, was a defensive coordinator actually with the New Orleans Saints, and that's kind of where the connection to Packers head coach Mike McCarthy comes into it. They were actually on the staff at the same time in New Orleans, so there's a little bit of familiarity there between McCarthy, between Zook, and so now Packers bringing Zook into the fold. And maybe you could kind of read into this as well as the Packers perhaps getting a little bit frustrated with the special teams of Sean Slocum that have, I would say, for the most part, underachieved during his, you know, during his tenure in Green Bay. There have certainly been some good moments. I would say in the year 2011, the year after the Super Bowl, the Packers' special teams were actually pretty good, and they've had some pretty good individual performances from the specialists themselves. You talk about this past season, the play of Mason Crosby, the play of Tim Mastay. I think some people question, you know, hey, if the specialists are having such good seasons, why are not the special teams overall performing as up to par? And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the other 10 guys on the team, other than just the specialists, the 10 guys on the field, you know, the return units, the you know, coverage units have not been up to par. And maybe here, if they continue to falter, you're looking at, you know, maybe that replacement is in-house now. Maybe the Packers can go from Sean Slocum to Ron Zook as their special teams coordinator. And then again, maybe this is just a stepping stone for Ron Zook, where he's going to look to climb up the ladder himself, and he's going to end up eventually jumping ship and going to another team. That's just speculation on my part. I don't know, but these are all thoughts that kind of go through your mind as I hear about these hirings, things like that. The other biggest new addition to the Packers coaching staff is new running backs coach Sam Gash, a 12-year NFL veteran, ends up being a two-time Pro Bowler. I know he was with the New England Patriots at one point, and I think he was part of one of their Super Bowl teams there in New England. So a guy who kind of does have some name recognition as a player, has been around the game for a long time. You know, when you're talking about a 12-year playing career, he's been around the block before, and being a good player while he was playing, you know, being a two-time Pro Bowler. You know, Sam Gash got the job done. After his playing career, he got into coaching, and of course, most recently with the running backs coach of the Detroit Lions, so a division foe. The thing that pops into your mind and that, you know, raises an eyebrow perhaps is the Lions ended up parting ways with Sam Gash after this past season, and you kind of wonder, well, you know, if he was, you know, if the Lions parted ways with him, why are the Packers kind of going after a retread here? Maybe isn't there somebody better? But then again, you look and here's a guy who is now, after, you know, that stint in Detroit, here's a guy who's very intimately familiar with the NFC North division, in a division that's going to play teams like the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings twice a year. And of course, he now intimately knows the Detroit Lions very well. So there's that aspect to keep in mind as well. And you know, if I'm correct here, Sam Gash was on the same, played with Alex Van Pelt. They were actually played together as players. And Alex Van Pelt, kind of transitioning here, has been one of those five guys who have been reassigned in Green Bay. He goes from being the former running backs coach to now the quarterbacks coach. Of course, the attention there is taking over for Ben McAdoo. And even more so than that, Alex Van Pelt going to be a guy who's going to mentor Aaron Rodgers, work with pretty much one of the highest profile players in the entire NFL, the highest paid player in the entire NFL. So there's going to be that aspect to look forward to, with, you know, how does that go? How is he going to help in Aaron Rodgers' progression here as the Packers seek to take advantage of the Aaron Rodgers in his prime? I know a lot of people feel the window is open right now for the Packers to win a Super Bowl. Now they have to take advantage of it while Aaron Rodgers is still in his prime. And he's, you know, that they got the key piece you want to build around, but they got to get better outside of Aaron Rodgers. And how is, you know, Alex Van Pelt going to help elevate his game and the game of Aaron Rodgers and the guys around him? So, we got that. Alex Van Pelt, let's see, what were some of the other additions or changes the Packers made? Oh, of course, we have the you know, just guys who have been kind of reassigned or newly named positions. I think one of the biggest ones was Winston Moss, who was formerly the inside linebackers coach of the Green Bay Packers, now the entire linebackers coach, both inside and outside with the Green Bay Packers. This is, of course, with Kevin Green stepping down, the former outside linebackers coach getting away from coaching now. So you've got Winston Moss taking over the position, and he will be assisted. The Packers have have reassigned Scott McCurley as the assistant linebackers coach. So you got the same amount of guys helping the position, but because they kind of went from two linebackers coaches to one, I think some people kind of thought, does this signal that the Packers could be moving to a 4-3 defense? And you know, I understand where people are coming from in that, you know, the Packers have a lot of free agents. There's a lot of defensive linemen who could be leaving the Packers this year. B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, C.J. Wilson, Johnny Jolly, Mike Neal, they're all free agents. So a lot of names could be leaving. And you kind of look at that and you kind of look at a guy like Nick Perry. And I think some people think he's more ideally suited to defensive end than he is outside linebacker. And you think, well, maybe the Packers could, you know, transition to a 4-3 defense. And maybe that's what's happening here as they kind of reassign coaching positions. But folks, don't count on it. It's you know, in my opinion, it's not going to happen. Dom Capers has been coordinating a 3-4 defense ever since his days with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think even before that, before he became kind of a coordinator or head coach himself, back to his assistant days. He's been involved with the 3-4 defense for decades, and I don't see him changing anytime soon. That being said, you know, basically when you get into the sub packages of Dom Capers' defense, you're talking about a 4-man line anyway. The Packers have a 4-man line more often than not, with two defensive linemen and two outside linebackers on the line of scrimmage. You know, essentially, you're talking about a very similar situation when the Green Bay Packers kind of play in these, you know, these sub-package defenses, nickel dime, things like that, that aren't a whole lot of difference from 4-3 anyway, even though, you know, there are still differences, and I understand that. But, you know, there still will be a base 3-4. Could they end up going to some sort of hybrid scheme or something like that? I speculated that in past seasons. Haven't really seen it. I don't know if you will. I think there's still a lot of confidence in Dom Capers. Yeah, I mean, after all, here is a guy who coordinated the Packers' Super Bowl winning defense just 3 seasons ago. It's not as if Dom Capers hasn't been successful in the NFL. But for some, maybe not successful enough. They want to see more out of him. But regardless, you know, we're going to see what, you know, the job Winston Moss does here, kind of in charge of all the linebackers now, both inside and outside. So Winston Moss will be working more with guys like Clay Matthews, like Nick Perry, along those lines. So be interesting to see how that dynamic works out. I know the inside linebackers speak highly of him. AJ Hawk, Brad Jones speak highly of Winston Moss, but definitely a different situation here that's playing out. And today, a Monday, kind of the big thing in the world of the Green Bay Packers here on a Monday, as I know from Paul Immig of FoxSportsWisconsin.com tweeted it out. These new coaches and some of the reassigned coaches will be meeting with the media today on Monday afternoon or around right the noon hour, sometime like that. They'll be meeting the media, so you're going to see a lot of articles on the coaching staff later today, tomorrow, in the newspapers, online, things like that. So we're going to hear from them and kind of, you know, find out what's in store for the Green Bay Packers, maybe what changes are in store, or, you know, just get inside the mind of these guys, you know, some of the new guys coming over, see how they're fitting in, see how they're, you know, what the plan is just a week away from the NFL Combine. I have to imagine most of the coaching staff will end up being in Indianapolis, kind of, you know, scouting college guys, things like that. All those things are going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers, and things to look forward to in the upcoming days, weeks, and months here as we get ready for the NFL draft. And
Like I said, it was great to have Eric Pinkins, the safety from San Diego State, on the show this morning, get inside his mind, what it's like for an NFL prospect trying to get ready for the NFL. So great to talk to Eric Pinkins this morning. And that'll do it for today's show, as it's now past the 9 o'clock hour here in the Central Time Zone in Wisconsin. But folks, make sure to check us out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, live here at CheeseheadTV.com, podcasted later in the day. You can watch us live on your Roku player via the live stream platform, all sorts of ways to get our content here at Cheesehead TV. And as I always say, stay tuned to CheeseheadTV.com for all your news needs all week long. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Liquid by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.